Okada, sir.
Okada, my man, my guy.
We're back, man.
Looking fresh in the the new Think RBA shirt.
Some new gear.
I know. You must have been busy this weekend.
I was a little busy. I was actually getting a lesson and an education in, custom
and heat press.
And heat press custom wares. How to create your own designs.
I left mine. Should have had them, but. Next time.
Hey, listen, there's plenty more episodes, man.
All right, plenty more
episodes.
Plenty more. Plus, now I got the heat press, so.
Heat press. The glass looks nice.
Yeah. The little logo etched into it.
Yeah, yeah.
Who knew all it took was the etching cream. Like.
With the E, right? E.
Yes.
Etching cream.
Etching.
Yes.
Who knew? The things you learn.
The things you learn,
it's
man.
Like, it's like those TikToks are like, I wish I would have knew this before I was 30.
Right, where I was today years old when I learned.
Yeah, I was yesterday, right? Days old when I learned that you could just apply etching cream to a glass and
voila. Right.
Like, so that easy.
It's that easy. So, sir, speaking of that easy or not that easy, I've heard a lot, or we hear a lot about these, like, ESPN lists. How about the greatest athletes in whatever sport? And
this, our society is obsessed with ranking.
Oh yeah, I know, dude.
Like
insanely.
But so something tells me we're going to be ranking today.
We're going to be ranking. We are.
We are.
However, comma, hopefully not as absurd as some of those lists are. Like, to me, Dwight Howard or T-Mac not being on the top 75 list is preposterous.
Right.
That is. I mean, wow, really?
Right. No, there's some
really
interesting lists out there, that's for sure.
Yes, yes. And no disrespect to the 75 that are on there, but come on, really? Really?
Really.
So in that sense, sir,
okay.
You heard this term Mount Rushmore.
Oh, here we go, the Mount Rushmore.
The Mount Rushmore of...
Blank.
Right, fill in the blank, right? Whatever category, sport, whatever it is, we all like to have barber talk conversations and friends with, you know, type, all these chatting we have. And you get in a group of guys at the bar and they just want to, you know, just they get really passionate about their...
About their Mount Rushmore.
Their Mount Rushmore and their list. And
yeah.
I've seen people actually jeopardize friendships.
Fisticuffs.
Fisticuffs, yeah. Yes. And it's crazy.
Yeah. It gets deep.
It gets deep. But
it gets,
like,
deep.
So let's get deep. Mm-hmm. I was thinking, you know, because it gets deep, we should do an episode that's somewhat deep.
Okay.
We'll call ours the Mount Rushmore of RBA.
Okay.
Howard, comma, the basketball version.
Okay.
And then we can do different versions. But today's episode, let's do Mount Rushmore of RBA, the hoops version.
Okay.
So with that being said, I want to put you on this, you know, on the spot, or give you the stage. And what we'll do is we'll just go one by one of our own moments of RBA, like Mount Rushmore, but who we categorize in those and deserving of that spot, those coveted four spots.
Coveted.
Of, you know, the greatest ever moments of RBA moments in the history of basketball for us. So, sir, with that being said.
So, before we go.
Mm-hmm.
It's two things. So, one, this is just a preface. Because you said something slightly different than what I'm going to say.
Okay.
We are not giving the, or are we giving, and you might be, and that's okay if you are, the Mount Rushmore of the greatest NBA moments, or our Mount Rushmore.
Hours,
because there may be great moments.
Correct. So thank you.
I would
that.
Not put on my personal route Mount Rushmore because they didn't personally hit like the
Got
ones
it.
That I'm picking.
So thank you for saying that. It is ours. So people, this is ours.
No judgment.
Right? You may have yours, and we can conversate about it. We can have a conversation about it. It's fine.
Okay.
But this is yours only, and then mine only, and then I would love to see, you know, which ones overlap,
well,
which are more frequent.
Well, so that was the second point that I had to make, because we only have one possibility of overlapping. I promise you the other three were not overlapping.
Okay, okay.
I promise you. Okay. Like, I will put any amount of money on it that we're not going to overlap.
Okay.
There's no way. If we overlapped, that, I mean, we'd be in a different matrix. So.
Hey, you never know, man.
But there is one. There is one. So, with that being said, I'm going to save that one for my last one.
Which one?
The one that I think possibly might overlap.
Well, let's just get out of the way.
No, no, no. I'm going to save that one for the last one. Make it fun. Okay. To see if you come, or you might come up with the same one.
Sure.
And if you do, I've got an alternate.
Awesome.
I have an honorable mention that I can slide in its place.
Perfect.
Because they're very much like an A, B kind of thing.
Okay.
So,
okay.
But if you don't pick it, I'm going to throw it in there.
Awesome.
So.
Sir.
Okay. You want to put me on a spot?
First, please.
So, you know where I got to start.
I'm sure you
got to start the ca-ca. You know, we got to start in the A with. So I'm going to start in more current time before I back up in history.
Okay.
So I'll work my way backwards in that further. Okay. So I'm going to start with the no one predicted underdog run of my Atlanta Hawks to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Okay.
Specifically, so, and again, this is mine, people. This is my personal Mount Rushmore, so it's going to relate to my team. But nobody picked the Hawks to do anything that year. Anything.
Mm.
And in fact, when the first round of the playoffs came up, and the Knicks had made the playoffs, had the better seed, had home court advantage. what was the story? What was the narrative? The Knicks are back.
Yep.
The Knicks are back. Yep. Oh, they're going to take the Hawks. Nobody picked the Hawks.
What year was this again?
This was 1920. It was before COVID.
Okay.
Right, was it before COVID or 20, after COVID? I don't remember which year it was.
2020, not 19.
The years are like blending.
Got it.
They're like blending. Okay. I don't even remember
which year. Recent history.
The Knicks were back.
Yeah.
This
was after the Knicks had like a 12-year hiatus from the playoffs, right? That you're talking
was
about
it just
that.
12? But yeah. Yes.
Wow.
No, but I mean, I'm just saying like that was the narrative, right?
Yeah, yeah. It was.
And then, you know, there was the game winner in game one.
Mm.
Okay. Well, they got lucky.
Mm.
Then we handle them in five with a punctuation mark on the bow.
Yeah.
There was the coldest picture that's ever been taken in NFL history.
NBA.
NBA. NBA history. See, I've been watching football all day. I got NFL on my mind. Coldest picture ever taken with Trey smirking at the crowd.
Mm.
And then we go on to the next round, and they say, oh, okay, well, that was just the Knicks. Apparently, they weren't back. But the Sixers, they can't beat the Sixers. What? Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, they got a squad, right? They can't beat. They definitely can't beat
on
the Sixers.
On paper, yeah.
No, I mean, the Sixers were, they had.
Yeah,
they
Sixers were, like, on
top,
paper.
Top two seed that year.
Yeah.
Can't beat the Sixers. 26-point comeback.
Mm.
The Trey ending Ben Simmons as we know it.
Mm.
When he made Ben, for some reason, be scared to dunk it.
Pass the ball.
What do the Hawks do? Go in and win game seven in Philly?
Mm.
And then go to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah.
They're going to get swept. They're going to get swept, right? What are they going to do?
Yeah, each round was
game doubt. One. Game one.
I got to find that effect now.
One of the biggest what ifs will be, what if that ref was not standing there when Trey got hurt?
Yeah, he rolled his ankle.
Rolled his ankle, and then he tried to come back too soon, wasn't himself. The rest is history. Kudos to. But that was an unprecedented run story of a team that was not supposed to be there. We have fired our coach mid-season. That's the other part. I forgot to put that preface on there.
Mm.
We fired our coach at the All-Star break. and ran, went to the Eastern Conference Final with an interim.
Listen, man, a Hooper hoops.
A Hooper suit. So for me, that's one of the top moments on my Mount Rushmore.
Okay. I'm not going to say something because I was going to say something and I think it might be a different... Because I thought you were going to come with something else for the ATL. I'm not going to say anything.
There's still plenty of time, sir.
Correct. So here's me being me. So for me, I want to preface this. RBA moments are moments...
He's going to have like 10
times,
moments.
As many as times as I've seen that face and that shake, that SMH right there.
About a dollar for every time. Got?
So I'm going to preface it and say, for me, RBA moments are, I categorize, you know, there's levels to this. So for me, there's levels to this.
Okay.
So for me, like Mount Rushmore is me, that for me means you, one, I witnessed it. I have to witness it. It just can't be something I heard. Like 100 points wheeled. I never saw it.
Correct.
So I can't use that.
Correct.
So one, I have to witness it. And two, it has to be in the finals. On the biggest stage. Because that's what impacted me. Because you were on the...
So every one of your four happened in the NBA Finals.
Correct.
Oh, then we're not having any overlap.
Perfect. So for me, it's you're on the biggest stage... And it's for all the marbles. It is that, and that's when it's super high intensity basketball, like the highest at that point. The finals is the highest version of basketball. Supposed to be. Because it's the best.
It's not always the case.
It's supposed to be the best from both sides, Eastern Western Conference. Here we go, duke it out.
Okay.
So for me, that's how I categorize Mount Rushmore of RBA for hoops version.
Mm.
So my first and foremost for me, it is, and you should already know where I'm going technically with this, is in my memory and my belief, in my matrix, it is Michael Jordan's last game ever. Because he hasn't, I don't believe he played for the Wizards. That's not a thing that happened.
That wasn't his last game ever, sir.
That was his last game ever, in my opinion. In a Bulls uniform, that was his last game ever. And he ended his last game with a gooseneck.
Mm.
And to me, that's the coldest picture because if you ever, I don't know if you ever seen the picture from when they took it from the back. It was game 6 in the finals against Utah Jazz. It was an away game.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the final shot. Byron Russell, he did it to him a year before. He did the same thing to him the second year. Kind of like maitre d'd him to his table. Pulled back. And when he held that pose, though, and the ball hit nothing but net. It didn't even hit rim. Highest stage, final seconds, fourth quarter. And if you look at the crowd in the picture, that is the most beautiful picture because he's holding that gooseneck and the crowd's just like... He killed everybody. Like that to me,
that's a good one.
That's amazing. Like
it's just if it was actually his last game.
No, it was. It was his last game. And that though, when I was growing up, like I was in that early, like I'm gonna date myself here, but those are like I was in my teens. And for somebody who was very impressionable and growing up in like, you know, that one hit me. Like that for me was like, oh, that's cold blooded. Like that right there, you're in a away game. Like the will you have, because I think that was also, was that the flu game year? I can't remember. But whatever that was though, it was also, you know, the last dance. They were gonna break the team apart. So what a great way to end your career, in my opinion. Or your basketball career.
Your season.
Your basketball career.
Oh my God.
That's that. You go out on top. That's it. Game over. So for me, that's one. So, okay. Sir, volley back to you.
I mean, I should have known. See, this is where going up against somebody who has no team always puts me at I won't say disadvantage, but on a different playing field. Because you don't have a team.
No.
So you have players and moments where you don't have that loyalty.
I enjoy the sport, not
You haven't experienced the loyalty.
I'm not trying to because so, the team doesn't know I exist. I
mean, his levels to this shit. So anyway,
exactly, exactly.
So,
and you know what? So I'm actually living through you, bro. I'm living through you, and I've learned my lesson watching Atlanta Falcons.
listen, sir. We 4-3. Okay, we got number one in the division today. All right. So my number two, working my way back and backwards in time, still staying with the
of course.
Because to me, I don't think every RBA moment has to be the finals.
Sure.
Like that's, yes, there's a lot of great moments that have happened in the finals, but then there's been a lot of cool RBA moments that have happened that have not been anywhere near the finals. Mm-hmm. So that's cool.
That's true, facts.
You do you, I'm gonna do me.
Absolutely.
So, 2015, 19 and zero, 19 games in a row, 19 dubs in a row. The Atlanta Hawks was, I don't know if it's been beaten since, but it's one of the top five
in a
longest streaks in NBA history. Win streaks.
Who was on the squad?
That's what makes it RBA because they did it with no star. You're talking Jeff Teague, Damari Carroll, Paul Millsap, who was Kyle Korver, right? Like they had, those were the four All-Stars that year. So they had no, who was the fourth one? Who was the, it was.
It wasn't Damari. It was somebody else.
It was somebody else.
Was it Joe?
No.
Not Joe, Josh. Josh was gone.
No, they were all gone. Yeah. It was just.
There were four, but it wasn't Damari.
It was just a squad of guys.
Kent Bazemore?
It was probably Horford. Horford was still there.
That's right.
I forgot about it. See, he's been gone for so long. And
he's a Celtic, though.
See, when he left, he became very anti-Atlanta. So it kind of like...
Didn't work out. Didn't end well with him?
Yeah, I don't know. Something. I don't know if it's the fan base that kind of turned on him a little bit. But so he's just been out of sight, out of mind.
I don't know, man. Atlanta fans are usually for the other player, not the home team.
Yeah, no, that's not in this case. Okay. There's a lot of hurt feelings there for some reason. Okay. But anyway, but either way, point being is like they had a squad with no superstar.
Yeah, no superstar. That's true.
And they were just a bunch of dudes out there hooping.
I remember this.
Hooping to the tune of 19 in a row, making history. To the point, you talk about RBA, where the January player of the month was their starting five.
I remember this. Yeah, I remember this. They were a unit.
To the entire unit.
Yeah.
Like, when do you see that?
Oh, rarely.
When do you see that? Rarely. To me, that was RBA. Just to be able to go through like the odds and chances of number one, everybody being healthy, everybody getting through. So nobody's taking load management, right? I mean, for real. And
have you heard there's studies that is not effective?
There are. That's another episode.
Yeah.
But nobody's taking load management. Everybody's playing and just going through 19 straight games and running dudes off the court. Running teams. I mean, they play good teams. They play bad teams. Listen, bro, we don't need to talk about that.
Wasn't LeBron single-handedly?
Sir, we're talking about moments. That is not the moment. We're talking about the fact that for 19 games, they had to RBA it.
Okay. So we'll ignore the results, but
we're
just
not talking. We're talking about the RBA moment. We're talking about the moment.
Okay.
Not the whole season.
You're not really talking about a moment. You're
19
talking
games
about
in a row.
Oh, that moment in time. Okay, got it.
Yeah.
But not the future moment in time.
No, having your entire unit being given player of the month.
Hey, that's as good
RBA.
That's as good as going 73-9 and coming off ringless. And
wow, just unnecessary shots being taken tonight.
I mean, you know. Okay, damn. So my turn.
Sure. Shit. I'm trying to figure out why you started taking shots at Steph. Like,
no, Steph is amazing, man. But that was a moment.
Okay.
Didn't end well.
That was definitely a moment.
So for me, I'm going to go back again to the finals. And this one is not your usual RBA moment, because most RBA moments are, you know, gooseneck, game-winning three, game-winning whatever bucket, right? This is on the defensive end. You already know where I'm going.
I know. Bro, you know what's crazy is I knew you. I just, something told me that this was going to be your play where you said everything was going to be in the finals. And then when you said this isn't your normal play, I was like, I know where he's going. Yeah.
See, you know me. You know me well.
LeBlanc.
Like 2016, game seven. This is it. There is no more season. There is no more chances after this.
Down the stretch.
Finals, right? Like in the final, what? I don't know how many seconds were left. Yeah. Or minutes. Like to go, and then the heavy minutes that LeBron plays. He does everything. He was like a triple-double machine. Mm-hmm. To put your body through that. And now you're in game seven, right? The two most beautiful words in sports, game seven. And to know that it's it. This is it. And this is them coming back down 1-3. Game, win. This is it. Like, you have to win every single game. And to come down to this against the defending champs. And this is, you know, Steph was, I mean, he still is. But that's, at that point, though, he was that bona fide torch thrower, right? That's when we all started, like, super, because they kept, I think they won two or three by then. Mm-hmm. And for LeBron to do that at the end was just like, I remember you and I were watching it, and all we heard was a loud thump against the glass. Mm-hmm. And even like the window opportunity he had off of, oh, yeah, before it hit the glass to be able, and we could see him trailing, like he was kind of sizing mm-hmm. him up.
Yeah.
And to be able to do that in a with precision. Game, precision and avoiding fouling him, jumping by his own guy because JR mm-hmm. slowed down right. Andre Iguodala. Man, that was special. Like the block, like, and when you say the block, like we all, the shot, mm-hmm. the block. When you get into that category, where I don't have to say anything beyond that.
The block. Yeah, that's a,
you're automatic RBA in my book, especially yeah. at the stage that was at. That wasn't even like game six, game seven. Mm. So that was my number.
So LeBlanc wasn't my honorable mention, mm. but the coming back from down 3-1 to bring the championship home to Cleveland. Yeah. Where you started from, where you were,
you came brought, back, yeah.
like to complete the story, yeah. like that was my honorable mention that yeah, I was going to use. That so whole, we that did a little the, overlap. Look at us.
See, and this is why I brought a 73-9.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
that was the same season.
Yeah. So that, and that, I mean, just that whole, like, you're facing a team that just set the record for,
they're dominant.
They beat you already twice. Right. Yeah, there were injuries, whatever, but they still beat you twice.
Right.
Right. Then they're 73-9 and like, oh, okay, they're up 3-1, they're about to beat you three times in a row.
Yeah.
And then you RBA that mm-hmm. shit, mm-hmm. come back down from 3-1, and then to end the game with the block. But you know what? We have to give another honorable mention to one other RBA play.
I was gonna, yeah.
You know which one I'm talking about?
Go ahead.
Well, No, please. I want folks to understand how much we're on the same wavelength that you can read my mind. What's the other play?
Kyrie Irving hitting the three.
Oh, you're wrong this time.
Oh, okay.
But no, Kyrie hit a good shot. Kyrie hit a good shot.
Kyrie hitting that three, though, was, I gotta respect that. Like, that was,
I respect that. But that's not the RBA moment.
Not for you?
You must have forgot about this one.
I probably did, but for me, that was my other.
It was when Kevin Love locked down Steph defensively on that. No, come on, man. You gotta give that man his props. It wasn't as big as, listen, it was not as big as LeBlanc, but the way he held his ground and locked him down, if he doesn't do that, it's potentially a different outcome.
So the reason I don't put that in there is because Steph had two opportunities in that shuffle when they were dancing, or he was trying to make him dance. Yes, Kevin Love did a great job. However, Steph had two opportunities, and he did too much dancing there.
Because
he had this one opportunity where he passed the ball off and he got it back, and he was in his range past half court. That's his range. Mm-hmm. And he literally pulled And he, I don't know, he just pulled it back down.
But either way,
but that
Kevin
was good,
Love
though.
Had two or three opportunities to fall back too.
He did. He did.
And he still pressed up and played hella tight defense for what he needed to do. So he I mean, it's not nowhere near like,
you know what's good?
Kyrie or the LeBuck, because that's what everybody remembers. But
no,
an unsung piece of that
absolutely
was his lockdown defense at the end.
Which is, so if you think about it, their top three players
yes
were in their top three moments
in the
which helped.
Yes, down the stretch.
Yeah, no, for love facts.
Okay. All right, so we had a little overlap after all.
There you go.
Okay. So, number three, taking it back just a little further.
Okay. The caw, caw. We have a caw theme here.
So, I'm with you. Like, it's got to be stuff we've seen and stuff that I can relate to. Mm. So, I'm deep in my fandom.
Mm. Oh yeah,
and
I'm surprised you don't have a caw mask on.
So I'm trying to figure out how I want to introduce this one. So, Let me ask you your opinion on something real quick. Just a little quick sidebar. In your opinion, in recent meaning within the last 23 years since 2000, what really propelled the idea of super teams? Do you remember? What do you think? I don't see if you come up with the same example I do. Because this whole like players trying to maneuver to get together, to me, it started more recently with one team. It didn't start with LeBron.
No, of course not. I think it started way before that.
Like, it started way before that, but I'm talking about, like, let's say between 20 and 2010. Because there were super teams put together.
Right.
But it wasn't really, like...
You mean a super team that actually succeeded or somewhat succeeded? So that's a different... Okay. Yeah. Huh. Because I was going to say, they tried to put Kobe, Shaq, Karl Malone, Gary Payton together.
That didn't work out well. No. No.
Okay. The super team that got together and worked out well was the Hamptons trip.
So a little bit before then, though, because that worked out well, but there was another one that won a championship that worked out well before then. 2008. Big Four.
Oh. Celtics?
Celtics. With KG, Ray Allen, Paul Pierce. To me, because KG didn't need to request a trade to get out of there. So to me, that was the first where like a player is like, I'm going to request a trade and try to get to a place. He gets to Boston. They get Ray Allen. Now they got Paul Pierce, Rondo. Now they got the Big Four, right? Really, it was a Big Three, but that was Rondo's like coming out party.
I almost said Brooklyn Nets.
No.
Harden, Kyrie, and
No. A little bit further back than that. That's why I was trying to give you a clue. Yeah. Like the 2000, 2010
range.
So 2008, that was all the hype.
Right.
Because remember, who were they assembling against?
Braun.
Yeah. Nobody could get past Braun at that point.
Listen, it was the Eastern Conference.
It remained the Eastern Conference for a long time.
Yeah.
But they had to get past, they were assembling to get past Braun because he was just dominating. So it came to the first round of the playoffs. Number one seed, Celtics. Number eight seed, Oh, get your brooms out.
Right, folks. I remember that, yeah.
Get your brooms out.
Yep.
No eight seeds ever beat a one seed. This is easy money. Easy money, Celtics in four.
Atlanta's always being doubted.
Celtics in seven. Bruh.
Push them.
And listen, I make no mistake about it. Not overflating it. On the road, we got our asses whooped every time. It was like 20-point margin of victory for the Celtics every time we went to Boston. Well, we got smacked around.
Yeah.
But when they came down to the Highlight Factory, that's what it used to be called, the Highlight Factory. Bruh, it was a whole different story. I had never, because again, they hadn't been in the playoffs like that. So this was really like the first real legitimate playoff experience because, you know, Horford had just been drafted, Like, he brought new energy to the team. They had Joe, Josh, like, whole new energy. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, this building is cool. Like, I've never seen it like this before when they came down for the home games. And but there's in particular the Joe Johnson game.
Hmm.
Now, I know you know, but nobody listening to this really knows yet until now. They're going to learn about Joe Johnson.
Oh,
and ISO Joe Johnson. And what Joe Johnson means to me. Like, ISO Joe, like, bro, favorite player.
Oh, yeah.
ISO favorite Joe player ever. He's respect. My favorite player. Respect. I don't care. Everybody can laugh and joke and talk about Braun and MJ, Kobe. I don't care. I love what I loved about it. So, we did an episode on athletes as role models.
Mm-hmm.
And we's like, yeah, we don't really look up to. I would say he's probably one of the closest that you could consider, like, not a role model or idol, but like somebody I was just like, wow, like, I love the way he goes about his business. That episode's
going to come out.
Yeah. I love the way he goes about his business because he just was like, what it taught me was let your body at work speak for itself.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't talk. Like, do you really remember a Joe Johnson interview ever?
No, he was quiet about his business, and
he just went and hooped.
Yeah.
Just deadly silent killer.
Oh yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He
was an assassin, just not a babyface assassin, right. But he was an assassin.
He was just a silent assassin.
Yeah.
And so but man, that game that he had where I think it was him and Josh Smith scored all the points in the fourth quarter. I think he had 20 points in the fourth. Mm. Like, he was just, bro, he was hitting from everywhere. He dropped Leon Poe, and then he dropped Leon Poe and then hit the three swish. He was driving into the paint, hitting these little floaters. He hit this one fadeaway from the side.
Mm.
On red. Like, bro, like this, I haven't even watched this in years. I did not watch this. I didn't watch that prior to coming here. Mm. I promise you, I did not.
I mean,
but these memories are burned right into there. My fucking head. Like, he hit the one little fadeaway from the side on Ray Allen. I mean, he wasn't like he was just doing one thing. He hit outside shots. Oh, no,
he's a complete player.
He was hitting these, like, little floaters.
Oh, he's
in the paint. Yeah. He got bumped to the side and hit the floater on one for the and one. Bruh, just took over down the stretch. And I was like, yo, this man is, like, he's the GOAT. He's
single-handedly.
He's the GOAT.
Yeah.
Start making GOAT noises around here. Like, my favorite player, my favorite moment. Like, I love rewatching it, so I'm probably going to rewatch it now that I said so, because I did not rewatch this, but now I'm probably going to go watch that fourth quarter highlights because that was, like, the epitome. Because I think I'm pretty sure that was game six and not game four. I'm pretty sure that was game six. Like, we needed to win that to make it to live, or else it was like an elimination game for us.
Mm-hmm.
So you gotta RBA it or you're going home. And Joe was like, nah, bro, we gonna make it to one more game. Now, it didn't work out for us in the end. I mean, yeah. But it is, I mean, we were up against a super team. It
seems to be a common theme.
Sir.
The end result.
Sir. You don't get to talk until you get a team, and then we'll talk. Otherwise, I'm just going to start associating you with the Knicks or the Nets.
So,
but anyway.
So, you know my favorite Joe Johnson moment? What is your favorite Joe Johnson moment?
My God.
What is your RBA one single Joe Johnson moment?
I have a funny one and a not funny one.
Okay.
So, my funny one would be one of the All-Star games. You know how they used to have reporters go and ask, like,
just weird,
crazy, weird questions. So obviously it's around Valentine's Day, and they asked Joe a question about Valentine's Day, and he was like, "Oh no, I break up with my girlfriends before Valentine's Day."
Wow!
But like, it was so unexpected to come from him because, right, like, you know what I mean?
It's quite
so
mild mannered.
I was
guy.
Like, "All right, Joe, I see you."
Mm.
My favorite moment. I mean, that's got it. I think that would be it. I mean, there was the a crossover he hit on Paul Pierce, or he dropped Paul Pierce. Mm. That one was pretty nasty. This is when he was in Brooklyn. Yeah. And then, I mean, talking about the number of game winners that he had was ridiculous too. I mean, he is one of the highest percentages, I believe, with game winning shots, like with the game on the line.
Yep.
Go ahead buckets. Like he,
okay,
he rises up to that. But I mean, I think in a moment, I don't think I've ever saw him as on fire as he was during that fourth quarter.
Okay. My favorite moment was one was that with the Paul Pierce where he dropped him.
Mm-hmm.
Other one was where he pulled this nasty snatchback on Chris Bosh.
Yes.
Along the baseline, and Chris Bosh went running. Mm-hmm. Like, I almost felt like he was going to the locker room. Like, he was head down on his way to take shower. It was that bad. Like, and he just drained the shot.
Bro, you just reminded me of another one was when we went up against Heat and Dwayne Wade.
Mm.
And then Dwayne Wade came down and hit a deep three.
Mm.
And then Joe came right back down in his, in D Wade's face and hit a deeper three.
Mm.
And they just were like going back and forth. And I was like, oh, Joe's like, I ain't playing around with this guy.
So yeah, that's the thing about Joe. Like, had he been a little bit more vocal, I think he would have been a little bit more mainstream.
He was
like a
6-7 time All-Star though. So he still got his.
But you never like think of him like that, right? But respect to Joe, man. I'm a big fan. Player. Big fan.
What up, Joe?
All right, so for me, my third one, this one hits close to me. Very close. Because the reason is there were two young men who recently met.
Oh, I'm gonna cry.
And they started this ritual.
I'm gonna cry.
Of watching the finals. And I don't know if you recall this, but we were sitting in our theater room.
Yep. At your old apartment.
At the old place, And, you know, just us.
Wait, can we just make a clarifying?
God, sure.
Really? You did not have a theater room in your apartment
That's right.
It was a community theater room.
Yes.
It was in your complex that you live. Because I don't want people like to get the wrong impression that like
No.
You're loaded like that. If you were
chill. Like, so we were in our community theater room. Luckily, we were the only ones there.
Yes.
And we were watching the finals.
Yes.
And this was game 6 of the 2013 finals. Yep. And Spurs Heat, Coach Pop pulled out Tim Duncan at the final seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And that led to Chris Bosh grabbing LeBron missing a three.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Bosh grabbing a pivotal rebound, kicking it to a backstepping corner three for Ray Allen,
mm-hmm.
who didn't even look down.
Right.
Just caught it, knew exactly where he was.
He didn't even dip with his shot.
No. Caught it, went right into it.
Mm-hmm.
And what was most impressive to me about that was the fact that he had, think about how many reps you have to put in to know where you are on the floor without going out of bounds. In that little space in the corner that you have, because ball players are big, they have big feet.
Yes.
And if you watch him, he was on his toes the moment he caught that ball.
Mm-hmm.
So the preparation, and he was meticulous for his routine.
Right.
And when that ball went in, snapped net, final seconds, and he's fading backwards. Mm-hmm. Think about that. It's a fading backwards shot. Balance, dexterity. Oh my God. Then obviously, I think Tony Parker was closing in on him and somebody else. But when he hit that shot, I remember you and I just looked at it like, what just happened?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, I think they were talking about how the Spurs were expected to win. And this was in Miami. And they started bringing the gold rope out. And Heat saw that and got mad.
Mm-hmm.
And when Ray hit that shot, my God, like that just...
See, I wasn't sure if you were going to say it or not. So I was going to say, that's what to me, like the shot itself was crazy RBA, right? Like everything you just said. But what made it even more was that they did it like knowingly that they were ready. The other team was ready to celebrate.
Celebrate, right.
They were pulling out the ropes and they didn't think that you guys were going to make this a game. And not only did they make it a game, but they ended up, you know, making it into a game 7. They end up winning in overtime.
Right.
So, you know, it's just like, no, don't count us quite out
Correct.
Just yet. So,
and that's the epitome of RBA, right? Beating the odds.
Right. No, I love that one. Aww.
Oh,
those were fun times.
We're not gonna hug it out though.
No, so no. Those were fun times. Yeah. Though. Okay, so that was your.
That's my third.
Third. All right, now I get to my fourth. No more caca.
That's it. It's over.
Those are my top.
Okay.
My, I mean, I've, obviously, I have lots of
sure
caca those moments,
RBA,
but
top RBA.
Caca those are moments. my top to put on my Mount Rushmores. So I'm gonna go with a different moment. A moment that I think most of us real hoop heads will still remember where we were when this happened. Mm. I still remember. I had a baby in my arms. Mm. Little baby. She's 7 now. Mm. But this was 2016.
Mm-hmm.
I know what you're... you know what I'm about to
Absolutely.
Go. Where I'm about to go.
Absolutely.
I had a baby in my arms. Watching, I believe it was TNT. That part I don't remember, but I remember I'm trying to get her to be quiet, and I'm watching the fourth quarter, the Utah Jazz versus the Los Angeles Lakers, Kobe Bean Bryant's last game.
Yep.
I'll never forget where I was and watching him, like, and then all of a sudden it was just like, okay, well, he got to 40. Can he get to 50? Oh, he got to 50. He just, like, how do you get to 60?
Right.
And he was, that was probably the first time I've ever seen Kobe gassed.
Yeah.
He was gassed.
Yeah, he was.
He was gassed.
Yeah.
I mean, he took a lot of shots. Don't get me wrong.
I mean, they kept feeding him on purpose.
Of course they were feeding him on purpose.
Like, I think he had 50 attempts that game.
Bruh, if I would have been on that court, I would have, nobody's shooting a ball.
Correct.
But Kobe.
Absolutely.
I don't care. We lose by 50. Kobe's going out shooting.
Correct.
That's the way it's going to be.
I mean, that's what he was known
but
for, right?
Just being able to go out on such a high like that after being such a dominant force
No one ever did it.
Nobody.
Michael, none of those guys did it.
None.
Yeah.
None. And like I said, it's just one of those moments where, like, I can legitimately remember where I was and what I was doing in that moment. Of watching Kobe just dominate and put up 60, like, and watching the reaction from, like, Shaq and I think Snoop Dogg and others, like
Jay-Z.
I had the
Denzel.
Same. I was just like, what?
Yeah.
What's going on?
But the best part, though,
How is this possible? How's this possible?
The best part, my favorite part of the whole thing, was the fact that they won.
Yes.
You have to go out winning.
You have to, yes.
If you don't win,
yes.
That asterisk, right?
Right.
But he won.
Right.
He left a winner.
He dropped 60 and won.
Now, granted, that is probably not the way I would want to end my season. I want to make it to the playoffs. They didn't make it to the playoffs.
They didn't.
I don't think Kobe was happy with that part.
Yeah, but I mean, they.
But the way he ended, the way it ended, at least the options he had.
He didn't have a playoff roster, so that's
right.
Not within his control.
Right. But
and they beat a playoff team. I mean, the right. Jazz team was a good defensive team.
Absolutely. So that's the part that I think he probably didn't like, but the fact that given the options he had.
Yeah.
I mean, at the ultimate high.
Listen.
So, yeah.
You can only play the teams that are on your schedule. That's what I got to say. But that moment will live
moment
forever.
Is. You know what's funny? In that moment, there were two options for America or the world who was watching basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Either you tune in to watch the 72-9 Warriors.
Yes.
Or you tune in to watch Kobe play his last game.
Everybody's watching Kobe.
And nobody gave a damn about the Warriors trying to get the record.
So at first, I was flipping back and forth. But the fourth quarter went, and then as you could see it.
Right.
Like Kobe started heating up. It was like, oh yeah, no, fuck the Warriors. I'm not watching. Like, I'm staying right here. And Allie's sitting there crying in my arms, and my arms are getting tired, and I'm rocking her. Nope, this is what we're watching, baby girl, because I'm not changing the channel.
So when I found out that I had two options to watch, for me it was easy.
Yeah.
Oh, like I'm not even tuning into the Warriors game because. Right. Whatever. Like, I've seen the greatest team ever do it.
I mean, if Kobe hadn't started getting hot and he had just like 24 points or something, I probably would have just gone back and forth and then waited till like the last, I don't know, two minutes or so just to watch Kobe's send off. Like, that's how I would have managed it. But like, it was very clear early on that, oh shit, something special is about to happen. So he
didn't start off good.
He did not. Yeah. Correct. Right, no, right. I know. And that's what I'm saying. I was flipping back.
Yeah.
But then it got to a point where you realize, shit, something special is about to happen. Yeah. And if I turn this off, I'm going to miss history.
It was going to be like an epic, either an epic disaster or just something really beautiful.
No, but in the beginning, but towards the, like, I think it was like the end of the third, beginning of the fourth.
Right.
I think it was the big, top of the fourth. Right. Like, you could tell that something epically good and historic was about to happen. And you can't change the channel.
So my rationale for not even wanting to watch the Warriors, even regardless of it was an epic disaster or not, was that I'll never see this man play again. See Steph play again.
Correct.
So I'm not even, I don't even care about
that. That's a good
point. So that was my rationale for not even caring about the other side. That's a good one. My fourth one. I have a few honorable mentions, but my fourth one has yet to happen. I don't have a fourth one. This guy. Bet you weren't expecting that. That's a great image, by the way. That defines everybody dealing with me. My fourth one technically has not happened. In the finals, because remember, it has to be in the finals for me. So there's that spot still open for me. Now there are some great playoff moments that have happened, which will be my honorable mentions.
What?
Yeah. And there's one non-playoff moment, which I think is an RBA. Like, it had longevity. And it broke a curse or a record from a long time ago. Which was, there were two actually. One, Kobe hitting 81. Because before that, 100 was the cap, right? Which happened many, many years ago.
And is debated.
And it's debated. And the second one was when Russell Westbrook went on his triple-double tear.
Yeah.
For consecutive season, not just one.
Mm-hmm.
Consecutive. And the last time that happened was Oscar Robertson back in 62. All those years. And this man comes along and doesn't do it once, doesn't do it twice, doesn't do it three times.
Yeah, he was ridiculous.
He did it four times and he did it back to back to back, which was insane. And people have their theories about he was stat chasing. And listen, I don't care what you say. Some of the greatest athletes haven't been able to do that, even while stat chasing. This guy is, I don't care what they say about Russell Westbrook, his shooting, whatever. He is, in my eyes, respect. But ultimate respect.
You. There's been nothing else from the finals, from any finals.
Not for me, not for me.
What about?
So there. Okay, so you want me to do one final? I'll do a finals one. It wasn't really an RBA moment, but it was a moment that really helped propel. Really like, oh wow. And it was my introduction to this guy. My first final seeing him. 1991. This was the Chicago Bulls versus Los Angeles Lakers. Michael's first championship.
Mm-hmm.
They were playing in Chicago. I can't remember what game it was, but it was the famous Michael up hand switch under. That shot, never seen. And the way he did it in a finals game. Like, he's playing around in a finals game. Who does a Globetrotters trick shot in the finals game?
See, I think that there's, we could talk about moments being an individual single moment, if you're talking about finals, I think of like just a collective, like a single moment in time of like the seven games or whatever.
Sure.
However many games that they're in, because I think that there's two really good ones you could sneak in that fourth that maybe you take down.
Mm.
If something else happens.
Sure, I'm open to...
But you've got 2006 D-Wade.
Okay.
That just went in there and just unexpectedly just went in and dominated.
This is with Shaq.
Yeah, but come on now.
No, that's fine. Dude,
don't put that qualifier on there. Don't do that shit. All right, that was next? D-Wade.
What's next?
Shaq was there. Shaq was there.
But Shaq wasn't in the washout.
D-Wade went... bruh.
Dude, he came from the Lakers. He just got traded.
Bruh. No, he didn't just get traded.
That's the year they won.
No, he got traded the next year. Mm-hmm. I mean, he got traded.
The same year he got traded is the year that they won.
Okay, maybe it was in 2000. Anyway, either way, doesn't matter. D-Wade went nuts that finals.
He did. I agree.
Fucking bananas. Okay, fine. Whatever. I disagree with you on that one.
It's the next one.
Dirk against the Heat.
I knew you were going to say that.
Dirk against
the
Heat.
That was a good one. You know what's crazy about that? The run he had to go through to get
correct.
There.
Correct. He went through a gauntlet to get there, yeah. and then your reward at the end of the gauntlet.
You get to play LeBron and Wade.
Is you get to play the super team.
Yeah, the super team.
That was
the first time they got together, right?
That was the first time they got together.
Not the famous, not one, not two, not three, not four, right?
But Dirk, that whole series was just fuego. Like, he was. I would put, if I were doing championships, I would put Dirk in there.
For me, it's still debatable. Like, no. I'm still waiting for that.
Better than having it blank.
Nah, for me, it's blank. I'm waiting for that.
That's such a cop out, man.
Stop it. Listen, just because you ain't creative thinking like me, it's all right, man. It's all right.
See, this is why there's got to be so many next time that we do this, now I'm going to have a qualifier. You can't have a spot blank.
So now you know.
So now I know. But hopefully we hear from others and what their moments are.
But I mean, and maybe I'm missing a really good one. I don't know. Maybe one is going to happen.
Yeah, I'm sure that maybe one is.
Right.
Maybe you're just reserving it for your son, right?
Hey.
For when he hits a game winning shot in the finals.
There you go.
It's going to be number one on your Mount Rushmore.
Oh, automatically. Automatically. Automatic. Undebated. And some of the other honorable mentions for me are when Dame sent Houston home.
PG.
Sent OKC home.
Yeah.
Right. Man. When he hit 71 on Houston.
So the Houston one was cold, but the one
but
on
that
OKC.
That was early in his career.
I know,
though.
But listen, the OKC one on PG was.
Oh, when he did
that
this?
Was disgusting. First of all, he hit that from like 45 feet.
37 feet.
Fucking ridiculous. And then just said bye bye. Like,
you know what's crazy about that shot, though? The degree of difficulty for a right handed shooter to step back, to do a right step, to yes. step right versus left. Is a lot tougher, bruh. Especially from that range. And
that
two,
was ridiculous.
And two, if you watch it closely, PG was watching the clock on the other end,
mm-hmm.
and now he's timing it like he doesn't have enough time. He's gonna shoot this.
Right.
He jumped before Dame let a shot go.
Correct.
So that's bruh. Just mind-boggling.
That one to me is probably top three shots.
That is I would agree. That
I can't
one
say
also,
top. I can't say it's the best because it wasn't.
It's not the best.
Like it's not like MJ's final winning one your number one RBA.
No, but it's definitely a top like three. Like Steph hitting that crazy 30, 40 foot dagger on OKC from the corner, that infamous bang.
Yeah, but that one didn't end the series.
Right, it didn't end the series, but this was.
This ended the series and sent them home.
You know, a little side story within that was Seth Curry was on the corner, in the corner mm-hmm. three, and he turned around to the opposite bench and told them, oh, we're sending you home.
Damn. That's cold, bro.
And they sent
that's
him
cold,
home.
That's cold, bro.
Sent him home.
That's cold.
Yeah. So that being said, like Dame, yeah, I 100% that one. One of my really favorite ones, and this man is so underrated, and it's the reason I brought up the 75 list earlier. To score 13 points in 33 seconds against an elite team is unreal.
An elite defensive team, too.
Correct.
Not just an elite team.
Correct. Against Hall of Famers. Is unreal. T-Mac, was it 2004 or something like that?
Yeah.
Against the Spurs when he was on,
that's
when
crazy.
T-Mac was on Houston. And I'm sorry, 13 points in 33 seconds is just, can you fathom something like that? That's a blowtorch, right? He was just on fire.
It wasn't 33 seconds, though, wasn't it? Like, I thought it was like 17 points in 13 seconds.
No,
it crazy was, like that.
It was 13 and 33.
We have to go back and check the tape.
Yeah, I think it was 13-3, but we can check it out. That's
either
crazy,
way, either way, he had a crazy amount of buckets in a short, very short period of time.
Very short period of time.
Like, so, a ridiculously short period of time.
Yes.
To where, like, it's almost impossible
right.
to score that many points right. in that small period of time.
Absolutely.
It's almost like the, not in a different, but the Reggie Miller.
Yes.
The
choke?
The choke, yeah.
The choke.
Yeah,
image,
yeah,
this
yeah,
image
yeah.
is
like,
oh.
A lot of things have to
play. Right. Have to
come
play
together.
Right.
Right.
Like Michael, also, that last shot.
Yeah.
Or on the T-Mac game, the Houston Spurs game, the Spurs player slipped and the ball came out and T-Mac happened to pick it up and just jetted. So a lot of things kind of like,
yeah.
The cards are played right. And
like,
And the basketball gods are on your side.
That three that he hit
at the end. Oh, and that was a fading three.
It wasn't even like a.
So, and Bruce Bowen was guarding him. Elite defender.
Yeah.
So those are some of my honorable mentions. I'm sure there are plenty more, but to keep things in
2004 Pistons.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good
team
one.
Again. No superstars, but that's just a really good one. RBA.
It's a really good one.
Beat out Shaq and Kobe.
Yeah, yeah, it's a very good one.
Nobody expected. That's.
I mean,
there's
a bunch of them.
Yeah, I think that there's enough that you could fill a fourth spot, but you know, that's just no.
I'm gonna just work on
letting that go till next time. But best believe, the next Mount Rushmore there will be more constraints. There will be more constraints, sir.
All right, sir. Well, I appreciate this fun conversation we had on the hoops version of Mount Rushmore. I'm sure we'll have another one on.
Oh, we'll definitely have some more versions of this
and other sports that we are more familiar with. And what I'm really interested to hear is what they think.
Yeah.
What these guys think.
I want to see what some other moments that are out there.
Yeah.
That, there's just so many. You can't. Right. There's literally no wrong way to slice it to get to top four.
Correct. And the best part is there's going to be more coming on the way at some
point.
That's
right.
So who knows? One might get bumped. Who knows?
Who knows?
And I have an open spot, so somebody can take it.
Like year 25 LeBron dagger to win a championship.
Hey, what if LeBron and Bronny team up and Bronny hits a game winner and they make it to the finals or whoever.
Right? Yeah, Who knows?
So that's it. Anything else, sir, from you?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, we appreciate you guys joining us, and this was fun. Want to hear your takes, and don't kill us too much. But I think I don't care if they kill me. I'm gonna get heat for that.
You should get heat for that.
Listen, I can take the heat.
You should get heat for that.
Thank you for joining us. Until next time.
Take RBA. Peace.